everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. This is part two of a two-part interview with Kathy Biase. If you haven't listened to part one, please be sure you go back and do that before listening to this episode. Everything will make so much more sense, I promise you.
Well, two things you said have piqued sort of something that I want to get across, and it's exactly what you are trying to do with your great podcast is people need to be equipped with questions. So if we can educate people so that they can ask relevant questions, that's number one. I mean, that if you can walk in and you can get have tools in your back pocket, you don't have to be, you know, really engrossed in the field of medicine or integrative health. But if you can ask fundamental questions, then what you're doing, Kelly, is it's working. And the second thing is keeping a notebook. And I suggest the same thing, too, because I think we are now at the stage where people are starting to understand, and we do this, you know, throughout history in the nutrition field especially, one diet doesn't fit everybody. And because one food is bothersome to one person doesn't mean it's going to be bothersome to another. And the other piece of this whole puzzle is that any whole food is not the issue. Food is not the cause of something. It's something internally that we're reacting negatively to it. So we need to heal in order for this problem not to exist. Now I'm talking in the whole food realm. So if, for instance, a tomato bothers you, we shouldn't say the tomato was bad. We should be saying, okay, so why is it bothering me? And those are the questions to ask.
Nobody's ever said that before, you know, on the show or to me, no one's ever said, because I've certainly had no shortage of people going, you know, and I feel in my life, it feels as though I've gone through every kind of elimination diet on the planet, you know, because I've had, recurring skin problems. You know, there still is this, I get these bumps that come up on my neck that no one can figure out what the hell they are. They're not acne. I mean, I have three of them on my neck right now.
And a lot of people will say, well, that's gluten intolerance.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I take pause to that. You know, perhaps it's your intestinal tract is it might be inflamed so that particles are getting into your blood system. When we're inflamed and your intestinal microbial system is not well balanced, things can get into your system that can cause issue. And this inflammation can show up in skin issues. It can show in foggy brain. It can show in mood changes. So you can't blame a food. You need to figure out why it's bothering you. And it may be a food that you'll never find the answer to, but just because an avocado is great for 95% of the people doesn't mean it's great for you.
It's possible. What you're saying is it's possible to have a reaction to a certain food, but it's really an issue that that could be temporary. In other words, it's not necessarily like that food is bad. You should, you know, I mean, I was actually having this very conversation with my doctor. He's very much a paleo advocate. And he was like, look, you know, tell me some of the things you're eating. And he was upset that I'd been having black beans. And he's just a strong advocate for, you know, he's hardcore paleo. And I said to him, like, I'm not suggesting I know better than you at all, but I have a real problem with someone telling me that a sweet potato is so bad for me and that I should mm-hmm. avoid it as much as I should avoid a Pop-Tart. Like I have a problem with that.
And I agree with you.
And that's, but you know, and the reason is like, I really can say that I have gone through so many elimination diets and been as strict as possible. And I saw no improvement. And you know, I'll have a lot of people go, oh, you didn't do it long enough. You know, like 3 months was not long enough to have seen any kind of improvement. But yeah, it's interesting to hear what you're saying, because maybe my body could be in a certain state where those things could be aggravating. Mm-hmm. And when the underlying problem is solved, then those things won't be aggravating and won't cause that. Because I haven't
had this. Exactly. And you know, I'm not a dairy hater. A good quality dairy, I don't mind. However, for a cancer patient, there are certain foods that can, because they're inflamed, because they have issues with their gut, I will say, stay off of this. This can cause some aggravation, but it's not forever. Let's revisit it. Let's introduce it, but let's get through. Let's settle the system down as much as possible. But the other piece too, that, you know, we harp so much on the superb diet and the actual foods that need to be in your pantry. But we also too are missing, and this is another big piece that I talk about with people sitting in front of me. Food is history. It's our joy. It's our culture. Mm-hmm. And when we are so restrictive and so worried about what's going on to our plate all the time, we lose that joy. And for a cancer patient or for any patient or anybody who's going through an illness, the one time of day where they can sit and break bread with their family and loved ones is a moment in time where maybe they're not thinking of what's going on around them. And that is a very powerful, powerful thing. And we often forget about the beauty and the power of food.
I agree. I'm pleasantly surprised to hear you say that, someone other than me say this, because I have said this several times this year, and I got to the place where I just realized how much of my adult life, my recent adult life, probably since my hormones changed, you know, around age 40, that I have spent obsessing mm-hmm. and researching and trying to find, ultimately, without me saying it out loud, what I was doing was trying to find the most perfect diet and exercise combo that would work the fastest to get me the thinnest, the fastest. Mm-hmm. And that's true for so many of us. We're a microwave society. We want everything yesterday. And people don't want to, you know, do the long work. They don't want to look for something sustainable. They don't want a lifestyle. They want a quick fix. That's why, you know, especially nowadays, it's the Christmas season and everybody's like, I'm 70 pounds overweight. I'm going to get a Peloton, because they think that's the hardest workout out there. That's going to make them lose the weight the fastest. Or they say, I'm going to go keto, or both. And I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But when I finally stopped obsessing and thinking, I mean, because I was taking in input from my doctor, from my dietitian at the time, from my trainer, from people on social media, from this lady who has a diet program, and all their contradictory advice. And every time I'd hear something else that somebody else had a problem with, you know, my trainer, he had a problem with sweet potatoes, he had a problem with ketchup, he had a problem with carbonation. He had a problem with any fake sweeteners. He had a problem with any protein powders. So every day I'd go home and he'd say something else. And I'm like, oh, I have to cut something else out. Mm-hmm. And then I'd get stressed about what I could eat, because I'd remember, oh, there's ketchup in my turkey meatloaf. That's bad. I can't have that anymore. So I'd freak out. And when I finally realized how much the stressing mm-hmm. about me worrying and trying to comply to this compeccable diet, when I let go of that stress, and just got back to the basics of caloric deficit, and I let myself have something crazy like call me crazy. I had my one, something I hadn't had for probably 15 years. It was this Lean Cuisine spinach pizza. And someone's going to laugh and go, Lean Cuisine, really? But it was just this thing. And I really liked it. And I let myself have it. And it, this is why people right now, Kathy, are private messaging me. Cause they're like, what are you doing? That it's, something's working for you. I said, you know what I'm doing? I'm not stressing. Mm-hmm. I'm not obsessing over my macros. I'm just keeping a caloric deficit and I'm calming down. And I truly think back to what you said, and I wrote this down in my notes because I wanted to bring this up again. You said the body doesn't interpret, I'm paraphrasing here, doesn't interpret the type of stress. All of it is causing inflammation or it's affecting our health. And I personally think that us women, when we obsess about trying to be perfect in our diet to lose weight, that in and of itself can cause more damage than, oh shit, you had a Pop-Tart. Like, mm-hmm. It's a carb, it's a sugar, or, oh crap, you had an orange and that's, you know, going to cause your blood sugar to spike, or, oh my God, you had a Diet Coke. That's going to, your body's going to think it's insulin and it's going to high blood sugar and you're going to gain 20 pounds and have elevated cortisol. Like, there's so many of those things out there that I think that's causing more damage than the actual food itself.
Well, how fun is it to go out to dinner with somebody who's like mind gaming with you on looking at what you're eating? I don't need that. Nobody. I stock my pantry with good quality food. If I eat something that bothers me, I take note of it. I'll maybe not eat it for a little bit, and then I go back to it. You have to enjoy your food. Life is too short to be obsessing. We're going to obsess about getting perfect health until we die. And then, you know, what kind of a life is that lived?
So true.
And it's not just from someone who's gone through cancer themselves. I've stepped back, and it's like we have a body type. There is no ideal. We may think that there is an ideal body type that is, you know, pole thin and can wear anything. But, you know, the reality is that we need to be comfortable in our own skin, not try and pull the skin off of someone else and wear it. And that's a hard reality for women. It is. And it's something that, you know, I think maybe it takes aging to understand. Mm. But our body is our temple. And if we don't appreciate and worship ourselves, why would we expect anybody else to respect us as well? And I'm not the perfect person too. I'll look, you know, I've got this nice little tummy from, I take a medication because of the cancer I had, and it messes with my estrogen. So of course I necessarily have hormonal imbalance, and I've got this nice little potty that I could work out 5 times a day. It's not going away. So most times I'm like, okay with it. But then there are other times when I feel like I'm walking in the room and the first thing in the mirror I see is my stomach. And it's like, wow, why does this happen? But then it's like, you know what? It is what it is. And what am I going to do about it? I feel well. And, you know, again, maybe this is just as you get older, you fall into the wisdom of this, but food, it's supposed to be enjoyable for us. And it just, as I said, if you miss out on the joy because you're so seeing the trees instead of the beautiful forest, we really are missing on a huge piece of what happiness is.
It's very true. And I remember, I don't know when it was, but it certainly was recently, that somebody, and maybe it was the dietitian I was working with or someone, they had said, just go out to eat and eat what you want tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, I think it was, because one of the things she was working with me on was getting past my, what she called, and it's the perfect way of phrasing it, is my psychotic diet mentality. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want you to go out to eat, and there's no restrictions on what you can eat for the next week. Just eat. And I remember how weird it was to look at a menu in a restaurant and not immediately, like, virtually speaking, what I used to do is just go in and I would look at the menu and I was crossing off all the things I couldn't have, because I'd go fried food, sauces, cheese, dairy, can't have that, too high sugar, too high calorie. Oh, that's got pasta in it. Can't have pasta, can't have bread, can't have this. And then you'd end up with like 3 things, chicken, yeah, Caesar salad dressing on the side, Cobb salad dressing on the side. No, you know, cut out the fats, cut out the bacon, cut out, you know, and it's like, that's what women have been doing for so long. You don't, yeah, order what you want. I'm not this way anymore, but that's the way I used to be, where you don't even choose what you, I've forgotten what I wanted to eat. Mm-hmm. Because I was so used to labeling everything that was so bad. And you know, it really was a wonderful thing to stumble on this guy who he's going to be on the podcast in early next year, Jordan Syatt. And he was just talking about the basics of caloric deficit. And it wasn't that this was anything new, this was not something I wasn't aware of, caloric deficit, but a lot of people in the fitness space, we're so used to kind of consuming so much media about food, about carbs being bad, about paleo or vegan or whatever it is, non-GMO. And so we think we know all the right things, but the bottom line is, and I remember it was my doctor, he's like, ultimately, you still have to control how much you eat.
Like 100%. You know, my father-in-law, I look to my father-in-law's diet. He's 90. He has cereal one morning, tuna the other next morning, and then eggs. And he rotates that. And he will not eat before 10 o'clock, and he will not eat after 7. And he'll eat whatever he wants. We eat too much as a whole. Yeah. And that is part of the issue. We need to eat well and to eat, I wouldn't call it caloric deficit in the sort of the overall health thing. We need to eat well and within what we need for operating. And eating too much is the curse of our society right now, almost more than what you're eating.
I would say it's funny because, and people that have been following me for a while, I'd gotten away from recording my foods in MyFitnessPal. I certainly wasn't keeping a food journal. And in my head, you know, if anybody would have asked me, and I remember saying this to so many people because I complained and complained and complained, you know, no matter what I do, I wouldn't gain weight. I just was forever stuck at this, I'm 20 pounds away from my ideal body weight. And I felt stuck and I was blaming my hypothyroidism all the time, blah, 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 blah. And I observed in myself, I thought, my problem is that I don't eat enough. And I do certainly think there were lots of times where I wouldn't eat enough. I mean, you and I were talking before we started recording about my podcast schedule, right? I can have a day where I have, you know, podcast after podcast after podcast, and then I finish and I do some post-production work. And then all of a sudden I can go, wait a second, I haven't eaten today. Mm-hmm. And not that that's the end of the world, but there was a time in my life where work got in the way. And my biggest problem was I was training really hard and not eating enough. That can be bad. I really thought that was my problem. But the truth is, I had heard this podcast where this Jordan guy was interviewing a woman with hypothyroidism. And she basically, it was an hour long interview. And she was saying, you know, for years, all the things I'd been saying, she goes, I thought it was me. I thought it was my hypothyroidism. And somebody said to her, track your calories. And she's like, I know what I'm eating. And that's exactly what I would say. Because I would say to people, I would say, if you followed me around and you came in my house and you looked in my refrigerator and you watched what I ate, you would wonder, how could Kelly Alexa not lose weight by all the things I'm eating? Hummus, organic chicken, you know, sushi, sashimi, this, that, the other. But the truth is, when I did start recording, and even though it was the healthiest, bought at Whole Foods, organic, grass-fed, pasture-raised, whatever, I was eating too much. I was eating at a maintenance level. I was not in a caloric deficit whatsoever. And once I went into a caloric deficit, I started losing weight. And that's even while I have missed probably 60% of my workouts this year due to my chronic migraine situation. Mm-hmm. It was the simplest thing. And even having a few of those, God forbid, Lean Cuisine spinach pizzas, you know, call me crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, like back to my father-in-law, he does intermittent fasting, you know, the daily intermittent fasting just because he knows, and that's a powerful tool. The fasting is a powerful tool. And you know, I do recommend it for most people for hormonal balance, for weight loss, yep. Or at the very least weight maintenance. It is very powerful, but you're absolutely right. You know, you have coffee and you have a couple of creams in it. Well, how many calories is that? When you start recording, we as a nation eat too much and we eat at the wrong time. And we're mixing up our digestion phase with our repairing phase and we're really messing up our systems.
When you say eating at the wrong time, what do you mean by that? Because you mentioned something about nutrient timing before. Maybe it was nutrition timing. What do you mean by that?
Well, we have, I study chronobiology, which is our clocks, basically. We have systems, we have cycles. You know, women have a monthly cycle. When it comes to what I do, I look at circadian rhythm, which is our 24-hour wake-sleep cycle. And, you know, in broad sweeps, our body, our liver, our digestive system likes to work in the light time hours. When it comes time to the evening and early morning hours, our body wants to repair. So when we are eating into the night, when we're eating at 10, 11 o'clock at night, when we go to bed, our body is digesting, which takes a lot of energy. And at that time, our body, like our liver, for instance, during the day is when it's the in the digestive cycle of what it does. At nighttime, the liver wants to repair and detoxify. So we're messing up, if we just look at that one organ alone, we're messing up the liver by eating late into the nighttime. We're saying, okay, well now we want you to digest, and your body and your clocks, our organs have their own clocks. That's not what they want to be doing. And we're messing up the system. So when it comes to disease and cancer patients and going through treatment, and we want the body to detoxify at its best, its natural detoxification. We want that really on point. So I will tell people at the very minimum, don't eat 3 hours before you go to bed. You can have water, sip some, you know, herbal tea, but don't eat. Let your body start getting ready for the repair cycle. We're out of sync. You know, we have melatonin, which, you know, again, in general terms, a melatonin kicks in when the sun starts to go down. And that's what sort of starts the process of us getting sleepy and the hormones are changing, where we're cortisol is early in the morning, waking us up. Melatonin is later on during the day, helping us to go to sleep. But we need to be cued into the light cycles and the dark cycles. And when we eat is another cue for these clocks to be set. So we, you know, watching TV late at night, on our computers till 1 a.m, we're really messing things up. And that's another big, big issue. Chronobiology is a really big, important area of study these days. And that gets into sleep and everything.
Yeah. I started learning about circadian rhythms a while back, and it was interesting when I started focusing on, you know, getting outside and getting fresh air more, letting my eyes see the sunlight when it was sunlight. And I found myself getting naturally tired. I think I've gotten a little bit of, I would say it's a weakness of my man and I. We can tend to eat too late. Because I definitely recall now that you're saying this, feeling better when we would eat earlier in the day and then we would go sit outside and be, you know, sitting outside when the sun was setting, and we would naturally be getting tired as opposed, you know, and not having any sleep issues. So there's really a lot to be said. And I certainly concur with what you're saying about technology. I can't say that I don't watch TV when it's dark out. I've toyed with a red blocking glasses before, but for sure, I don't take my phone into the bedroom. I don't take my tablet into the bedroom. We don't have a TV in the bedroom. It's pitch dark in there, and I make sleep a priority. And too many people, that could be a whole other topic of the show. Could be circadian rhythms, having you back on and talking about that and sleep, because people don't make sleep a priority. They think it's a joke if they don't get enough sleep.
And, you know, and I don't want to come off as doing everything that I preach, because I'm as much guilty of this as everybody. But I know that if I don't sleep well at night, I can pretty much 80, 90% of the time link it back to something that I haven't done right during the day. And as women get older, men too, but it seems to affect women more, our melatonin production is impeded. And, you know, we don't... try not to take hormones and try not to, we want this all to be done naturally. And the only way to have this done naturally is to give credence to how our cycles work. And that's going back to getting outside, like you said, having a sleep routine, making sure your sleeping environment is cohesive to a good sleep. All of these things, so many pieces of the health puzzle are outside of the kitchen. It's nutrition, food is a big piece, but there are so many other pieces as well.
Yeah, It's a lot of it is just getting back to basics and common sense. And yeah, so I love everything we talked about today. And I definitely want to have you back on the show because I'm looking at my notes and I'm thinking, okay, that could be a whole show for sure. And why don't we do this? Let's wrap up for today. And if you can, I will make sure to put this in the show notes. But Kathy, thank you so much. This was highly informative. And I, like I said, we'll follow up with you offline so we can get you back on the show. But tell everybody who's listening, you know, where they can find you online and how they can get in contact with you to find out more about, you know, how you work with individuals, both from a nutritionist and a preventative nutrition perspective, but also from a cancer perspective.
Best place to find me is on my website, which is kathybiasse.com. I'm on Instagram at kathybiasse. Twitter is Kathy at Kathy_Biasse. And I'm on Facebook. So you can find me on all those places and feel free, everyone, to email me. I just love to help.
Wonderful. And I will make sure everybody listening, as you know, that I will link that up at thekellyoshow.com. And for those of you that are listening, thank you so much. If you have questions on this episode, of course, if we have questions for Kathy, connect with her directly. That makes the most sense. If you have questions on these topics in general, things that you'd like us to cover when she's back on the show, or topics that you'd like to see us cover in general, you know, I'm having legions of experts and expert practitioners on the show. So let us know what you'd like to see us address as far as topics. If you have specific questions, make sure you write into us. You can fill out the contact me form on kellyalexa.com. You can write directly to my assistant, Angie, at kellyalexa.com. And you can use those same methods of contact to reach out if you're interested in advertising opportunities on the show for 2020, or if you would like to nominate yourself or somebody that you know as a guest on the show. Thank you so much to you, Kathy, again for being on the show. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next time on The Kelly O Show.
Thanks everybody for tuning in. This marks the end of part two of this two-part interview with Kathy Biasse. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed the interview and learned so much. And we definitely plan to have her back on the show to talk about some of these topics in greater detail. If you have questions for when we have her back on the show on any of these things that we talked about, we'll definitely have her back on to talk about circadian rhythms, the importance of stress reduction, sleep, intermittent fasting, nutrition timing, and so on. So if you have any questions specifically that you would like me and her to cover on those future episodes, please don't hesitate to reach out and write into us. You can email my assistant, Angie, at kellyalexa.com. You can also fill out the contact me form on kellyalexa.com as well. You can use those same email outreach methods to reach out if you're interested in sponsorship and advertising opportunities for this show in 2020 and beyond. And you can also use those same outreach methods if you'd like to nominate yourself or someone that you know for an interview spot on this show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope that if you're loving this show, you're sharing it with your friends and family members and colleagues so that more people can hear the show. And if you haven't had a chance to do so yet, I would so appreciate it if you'd leave us a review on iTunes. The more reviews we get, the more our show can be seen and heard by folks that could really benefit from this free information. Thank you so much in advance, and we'll see you guys next time on The Kelly O Show.